I heard somebody, I was up most of the night, and so as usual I turn on religious broadcasting when I'm up. And there was somebody, I don't know who he is, but his whole message was that if you were the only one, then Christ would have died for you. If you were the only one, then Christ would have died for you. Which is a popular concept. Except it makes the Trinity four persons instead of three. It's almost impossible to understand the Trinity, yet it's the central meaning of the Christian faith. It's the Father in eternity, the Son in time and space, and the Spirit in space without regard to time. And if I am necessary for the mystery of Christianity to be complete, then I have to believe that there are four members of the Holy Spirit. Because of that, that so-called postmodernism look at Christianity is where we're getting all these heresies. And it's, I know it's hard to understand the Trinity, but if you just remember it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you can understand it. And you can only understand the mystery of the bride by understanding that the bride is made up of the Son. If you can understand that He alone has immortality, then you can begin to have a feeling for what we're about. You're not going to live forever. He alone has immortality. And so the only question is, do you believe that you have immortality? And if you do, and if your theology causes you to believe that you have immortality, then in the context of what we're talking about, in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, you will never understand the gift of faith. And you will always only look at life with you as the centerpiece. Does anybody have any reaction?
Strikes me that the very nature of the Godhead demands what is happening to happen. I mean, you can't be God and not want to give and share or have this family. And so then I think I saw the mystery, you know, it's Christ in us experiencing the family, but it's not, it's that part of where the mystery falls. Is it how does that happen in the soul when it's, you know,
when I am, by all appearances, an independent self.
Yeah.
And that's why your point of view must change so that you don't no longer see yourself as an independent self. The other thing I noticed in watching a whole many hours of religious broadcasting over the weekend is how many and how often people pray to Jesus. How many times? It's constant. Show me one place in the scriptures where anyone prayed to Jesus. Is that important to anybody?
That's like a childish thing, it seems to me. I think they would justify, or whoever did it would justify it, when he was going to raise Lazarus. pray to him?
No, they didn't. They just went and talked to him.
You can spin it. If you need to.
Let's go to Galatians again. Galatians, I think, chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now again, circumcision is talked about constantly, but it just means the idea of putting away the filth of the flesh. Circumcision was to the Old Testament as baptism is to the New Testament. Paul says, if you want to play the circumcision game, i.e. cutting off the filth of the flesh, you might as well cut off the whole damn thing. When the Amalekites first came against Israel after their exodus, what they did is they literally cut off the penis of the men and threw it up to their God, to the God, and said, here's what your God wants, isn't it?
Malachi did that?
Yeah. Now, think of that. The whole idea of the Old Testament circumcision is a picture, it's not done for health reasons or for any other reason. I mean, can you imagine we had a cartoon in the door about this. Abraham is standing there, and he looks up at God and he says, do you want me to cut off the head of my what? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Or when the entire nation of Israel had left, and there was Egypt, and there was a generation in the wilderness that had never been circumcised, that Joshua had to have them all the men had to be circumcised. No matter what age they were. They didn't have... Well, But my point of this is the idea is that it's either you accept your death, you accept the cross, you understand that the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ, and he's already completed all that. And you get it out of your mind that you're going to start doing this and you're going to stop doing that and you're going to fix this and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. It's the circumcision versus baptism is if you can just see that, you could understand the mystery of God. Well, baptism, do you believe in sprinkling or that's just crazy. Baptism is death. His burial. You're buried in baptism. You're not buried in anything other than... there's no history of anyone being buried, except in some horror movie, of being buried unless you're dead. But what happens? That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. What happens? Whatever is going on does not happen when you want it to. And so, whatever you think should happen doesn't happen at the right time. So you return again to the kingdom of darkness for your answers. Now listen carefully what he says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. if you are going to change something, if you're going to change something about you, then Christ shall profit you nothing. If you want to keep a little bit of the law, if you want to try to fix something, then you have to keep the whole law, the entire law. What's going on? Uh-oh. Yeah, there's two bad dogs out there with Maddie.
No. Not so far. Not a corrupter. You run around turning over people's
right.
She wants to join the gang.
For
I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. I think I'm talking to the ceiling here. Somebody is not here. Some several are not here. Are you here, Michael?
I was thinking that.
I figured that.
Circumcision is one of those like kind of thing. If things aren't going right, or things just aren't right. Oh well, I need to get circumcised. Then that'll fix everything.
Right. You need to change something. You need to alter something. You need to alter your behavior. You need to alter your patterns. You need to alter something. Okay, listen. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. If you do anything to interfere, then you have, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is think about it. If you think about doing anything other than waiting on Him, then you've become a debtor to do the entire law.
You accidentally left out eagerly.
What?
You accidentally left out the word eagerly wait in the cycle. Waiting implies a little bit of.
I didn't eagerly left out anything. What are you reading?
I didn't hear you say eagerly.
Eagerly isn't in there.
It's in
this one. Well, it's because you've got the wrong, you've got the New American Standard or something.
Give me that box.
There's a New King James.
I like that.
Well, okay, you like that one?
I like that.
Well, let's go to that one. Keep that one a minute. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Why don't you go rescue her?
Next thing you know, she's going to be in a motel in Baltimore.
Read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
And you know what it says? Do you know what it says in the Lord's Prayer for that one?
Is come.
No, it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," instead of in earth. I mean, do you understand how important that is?
Oh, sure.
So, do you want eagerly?
Well, it kind of struck me at the time, but I'll have to reconsider, I guess. Well, it actually just puts a different, thing.
We, through the Spirit, wait. It simply means depend on, rely on, totally. Never leaning on your own arm of understanding. We, through the Spirit, wait. Rely on, depend on only Him. Because if you depend on your mind, your counselors, your parents, your psychologist, you're whatever, if you depend on these people and these voices, then you have essentially, spiritually, been you're opting for circumcision as opposed to waiting on Him. Now, again, for me, this was tested in a mind-blowing way, and it many times. But, you know, 3 months after I was a believer, I was homeless, no money, lost everything, had nothing to eat. Everything and every voice and every friend that I still had said I was crazy. But I knew from that moment that I became a believer that I could never again help myself in any way, and that in fact I was ready to die rather than help myself. And this faith, when I was held hostage in Lebanon, I was a gun in my mouth. Countdown. When I finally accepted my death, then a miracle happened. My point is, in a million ways since then, for the last 32 years, I know that I can always depend, rely on, wait on Him. I failed a million times when I got in the way, decided something had to happen. And every time, by the grace of God, I was able to repent, turn away, and Father, forgive me. But if you don't know that, if you don't know that your only function is to wait, then you're just going to use Christianity as an overlay on your life. And you will believe that the Godhead has four parts. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. Is that clear to everybody? Every time you follow your wants and your likes, every time you judge after your old way of thinking, then you are, in effect, not waiting, you're being circumcised. Now, the waiting really is only possible by the gift of faith. So faith no longer is a commodity for you to change or to get something or to fix something. Faith is the fidelity, the constancy that glories when you don't get it when you want it. This weekend, I would have killed myself about 3 or 4 times if it wasn't for the gift of faith. Because I was in so much pain, I couldn't even breathe. If I'd have killed myself, that would have been a type of circumcision. You understand that?
It would have been helping yourself.
It would have been.
I was reading a paper Sunday yesterday, and they've got this deal as far as dignity. Terminal illnesses, cancer, whatever. They could kill themselves.
Well, they can have somebody take their life if they
can't. No, they do.
Well, like I know, but they can. They can. But the point, it's the same as a living will. Everybody wants me to sign a living will.
Who, everybody?
Who?
Well, I mean, when I go to the doctors and stuff, they want me to.
Okay.
A living will is what happens, what should be done with me when I can no longer take care of myself. Well, that's really what should have been done with me for the last 30 years.
What else is new?
But listen carefully. We, through the Spirit, wait. It doesn't say eagerly wait. It's a steadfast dependence, reliance. If I eagerly wait, then my eagerness is going to go away depending on how much natural faith I have. I'm going to start believing that Hebrews 6 says, now faith. That means right now. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Again, we can say all you want. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you're honest, you will say that, just as Christ did. But there is no answer. The only answer is His resurrection. And if His resurrection in you doesn't take place, you might as well find out now instead of knowing that you've believed in a false faith your whole life.
There's a song, or something that talks about God turned His face from him for a moment.
It's Isaiah 54.
And it's so amazing that moment of Him turning from you and turning to death.
For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh, operates by love. That's the interface. That's the interchange between, the idea of faith and love are the same thing. The idea of waiting and love are the same thing. You can only love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind is if you love Him, wait on Him at the exclusion of everything else. And the only answer to all of the counselors and voices and ideas and plans that come up whenever something doesn't happen when you think it should happen is to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So your whole point of view has changed from you being the center of the universe, from your problem, to Him. And that's the fruit of the gift of faith. So faith is no longer a commodity. It's no longer a means by which you can achieve your ends. It has nothing to do with you. Remember, there's two different words. One is that you walk with a course of action, how we studied that in Jude and in 2 Peter, where if you're walking as a course of action in our predetermined path in your mind, then you've become an enemy of God. Is this hitting any of you at a core level? Faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now once this is permitted, once this is sanctioned, if you will, by a group of believers, then that leaven will leaven the entire body. So it says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded and that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? And this is where he says, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. What it says in the Greek, if somebody wants to preach circumcision, let them cut the whole thing off. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You remember, the lusts of the flesh are everything in time and space. The lust isn't just sexual, it's anything that you want to change. We, through the Spirit, wait in quiet, sure dependence on the Father and nothing else. And unfortunately, it doesn't say eagerly, because eagerly, it's another sensory thing that you can, sensual thing that you can work up.
It's just like the word lust is temporal, not eternal.
We don't have time to. In verse 7 of chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, what is the well-doing? The only well-doing isn't, well, that means I'm supposed to do something good. The well-doing is waiting. We, through the Spirit, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, but not your season, his season, in due season shall we reap, if we faint not. And remember, the word faint means not just quitting, but it means to quit in your mind. By having an alternative idea other than waiting. By not bringing every single thought into obedience to the captivity of Christ. I mean, not every thought into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. This will affect every single nanosecond of your life. If you have ears to hear, and it will cause your repentance to be essentially constant. The most common thing you will hear of your mind is, Father, forgive me. I turn from myself. Yet again. I leave me behind yet again. Amen?
If I were the only person on earth, Christ would have died for me. Because I'm the fourth person of the Trinity.
Can you see why some of the scholars are calling the present age the post-Christian age. The reason is because much of Christianity has become paganism and sorcery. What is paganism? Paganism is very simple. It's using spiritual means to benefit self. It can be witchcraft. It can be vegans. It can be anything that you do to benefit you.
Vegans? What are
the
vegans?
Vegans.
Oh. People from the Star Cluster fight.
You've got to see that everything is an enemy of faith. Every predetermined mindset, every predetermined plan of action. It's not just like a little enemy. It's a mortal enemy. Because you are yelling, crucify him. Because he wasn't enough. Or one must die for the nation. Because you're still seeing after the flesh. Now, if you don't, you know, if you just believe this is what Holy's saying. I hate this. There's nothing in me that likes the gospel. I'd love to be able to use Jesus as a mantra. Just like, remember all the ancient Judaism used to use the name of God as the thing that, well, whoever, if you knew the name of God, then you could speak it and whatsoever you wanted would happen. When Christ said, whatsoever things you pray, believe that you receive them, because you know that He hears. If you know that He hears, then whatever you have prayed for, you've automatically received. He's talking to those of like precious faith, not the pagans. They're going to use that as an instrument of their own self-realization.
You see why we like to make God over our own image, so that He will have our prejudices and our opinions. He'll be in agreement with us as opposed to us being in agreement with Him.
Think on these things. Let these things be the only thing you think. Amen? All right. Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.